Oh, well, that's part of missions into all the world. The world has how many countries? 330-something, is it? Something like that. Well, we are just touching three of them: Hong Kong, Cambodia, Myanmar. Now, did I turned it on. It's on. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, good. Now, we have a PowerPoint. Depending on you. There we are, missions into all the world. Where did it all start? Let's turn to Acts chapter 13 first. You have a Bible. Acts 13 before 16. Acts 13 is the story of the beginning of missions into all the world. Began with Paul, with his mission team being sent out from the church in Antioch in Syria. And Acts chapters 13 to 15 record that first missionary journey. Today we're looking into chapter 16. Chapter 16 is the account of Paul's second missionary journey. And he was commissioned, along with those that were on his team, to go out. And first of all, they revisited the little fellowships of believers that they had established on their first missionary journey. And now they went out. It says that they went from town to town, and they were not allowed, however, to go into certain places because God was guiding them in order to fulfill his mission. And that is something that is going to be something that we all need to become aware of, is that you may not be a missionary. You may not even be called to give your life in overseas missions, but you are called to be a witness. And that is what is going to come out through this word here today. It's the story of the beginning of missions. And one of the things that we note is how God guided those that he called and sent out. Very, very important to note that. The Holy Spirit, look, if you look at verse 6 of chapter 16, it says that Paul had tried to push the door to go into Greater Asia, but the Spirit of God kept him from preaching the word in that greater province of Asia, even though those people had never had the gospel. And that's one of the amazing things about this word. They were unreached people. And Paul had a vision and a heart to go and take the gospel to them. But in God's plan, that was not the time. And so he was obviously very sensitive to God leading him. And that's something that we need to be aware of as well. The sensitivity of the Holy Spirit in our lives as God leads us in doing his will. The Holy Spirit shut that door. And Paul took his team up through Turkey as it is today. They pushed another door to go into Bithynia. And not sure which slide is on, but again, we read that the Spirit of God did not allow them to enter. Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 16. And because that was not God's time. You see, one of the things that we need to be aware of is that God has the bigger picture. God is infinite. He is all-powerful. He is the Spirit of God that comes through him into our own lives to guide us as well. And he knows how he's going to guide us into the center of his will, closing doors, hedging our path. I think it was F.B. Meyer who made the profound statement, God not only directs our steps, he also demands our stops. And it's perfectly illustrated as how God was guiding the start of world missions through the local church. This is its beginning. And it's because these individuals were not disobedient, but that followed the Lord's plans. That's why we're here today. And so there's going to be just four things that I want you to note from this passage today. The first thing is the importance of vision in mission. Missions is a vision. And we read about this as the Holy Spirit continued to guide Saul and his team, hedging their way, blocking their path, bringing them along the province of Mysia to that little fishing village of Troas. right on the Aegean Sea. And I'm sure that when they reached, Paul and his missionary team, when they got to Mysia, if you can think about this, Paul was wondering, why did God bring us here? We had in our heart the desire to reach the unreached, but God did not allow us. The Spirit said no. And I can imagine Paul just walking down by the seashore of that little fishing village. The sun is setting in the western sky. And I thought, maybe in his mind, he wondered, has God brought us here to take us there? Because that night, as he got into his hammock, or as he lay down on his straw mattress, that night it says here in verse 10 that Paul had a vision. In his mind's eye, he could see a person from Macedonia. And I can imagine Paul thinking to himself, wow, I wonder, has God brought us here in order to take us there? And so as we look on through this story, we see Luke writing about this. And he says that as a result of that vision, he also heard a voice. And that's something else about mission. It's a vision of people who need the Lord. That's what the Macedonian represented. He represented from this point onward, he represented the people that God was now directing him and his missionary team to take the gospel. The vision of mission. And vision is something in each of our lives, if we want to apply this point, is something that we all must have. A vision of people that God wants me to reach. Your situation is unique. You have a mission field wherever you are. If you work in an office, you have unsaved companions. If you're a student in school, you have fellow students. No matter what your career is, no matter where your location is, you have neighbors who need the Lord. And we need a vision of how that may be possible to bring them to faith, because that vision represents your mission field, the people that God wants you to witness to, that they may know him as their personal Savior. Missions is a vision of those within our families, within our workplace, among our neighbors where we live, who need the Lord. But not only is it a vision, we read on in this story that missions is a voice. Because that Macedonian that Paul saw in his mind's eye, and that he shared that vision with his mission team. Luke is writing it, and Luke writes about this experience. He says, when he had seen the vision, then immediately we began to make preparation to go to fulfill that vision. Because the voice was crying out as Paul and his lay there that night and saw that man of Macedonia. He was crying out, as it were, come over and help us. And if only we have sensitivity within our souls, within our lives, within our hearts, then we too can sense, we too can hear the voice, the call of those people who need the Lord. And they're calling out from within their souls, come and help us. Come over and help us. Before the start of world missions in our own generations, the vision was so important. You have, for example, the vision of Paul himself. If you go over to Acts chapter 26, the record of where he was talking to King Agrippa, giving him his life story, giving him his testimony, and he said unto him in the course of that story, he says, and King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. As he shared with him his journey on the Damascus Road, and suddenly that light from heaven, that revelation that came upon him, and he was struck down, and he saw himself. He saw himself as a fanatical Pharisee. He saw himself as a persecutor of Christians. He saw himself as someone who was lost, who did not belong to the Lord. And in that situation, he actually saw the Lord. And they cried out, "Lord, what is it you're trying to say to me? What is it you're doing to me? What is it that you want me to do?" And so that vision has, if you study the history of the church and mission, before Hudson Taylor went to China, God gave him a vision of the Chinese. Same with Robert Morrison. The same with Isaiah. There's another biblical example of where the vision comes into our lives. Isaiah was someone who was said that in Isaiah chapter 6, he had this vision in the year that King Uzziah died. "I saw the Lord." There was a revelation that came to him from God that altered his life. And as a result of that, he had been, as a prophet, condemning the sins of his own people. But then suddenly, as he had this vision of God in his life, he saw himself. He saw his own heart. And he cried out, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Lord, I need your help." And as a result of that revelation from God, then he says, "I heard his voice." The revelation of who God is, the consciousness of what he's saying to us. "I heard his voice crying out, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for me?' And my response was," said Isaiah, "'Here am I. Here I am. Send me.'" Missions is the vision. Missions is hearing the voice, the Lord's voice, the voice that represents the people that the Lord is calling me to serve. And then it's a vocation. This is what Luke says in verse 10 of chapter 16. When Paul shared with him his vision, Luke says, "Then I heard him say to me, 'I heard the voice, whom shall I send and who will go?' And Luke said, when he heard the call, verse 10 of chapter 16, when Paul shared this vision with him, he says, "I got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." And so it says then in the next verse, with a straight course, they set out, crossed the little island of Samothracia, arrived in Philippi. And when they arrived in Philippi, what's the first thing they did? They had a prayer meeting. No doubt to thank and praise God for how he had been leading them, why he had brought them to this place, into Europe for the first time. And as a result of that, the gospel spread across into the Americas, and then from there back into Asia. And now from China, the church in China has a movement that's called Back to Jerusalem. And they're already working along the Silk Road, sending in lay workers to share their testimony, to engage in their mission, and ultimately to see the gospel going right back into Europe, back into Jerusalem. And then the gospel will literally have gone all around the world into every nation. And Jesus Christ is coming back again. And this is all tied in to world mission. This is where it all began. And Luke says that we were not disobedient to that heavenly vision. We were not disobedient to the voice. We accepted it as a vocation, as our calling, as our responsibility now to take it the next step. And this is where God has brought us right now in the history of his church. that we prepare in these last days, because we're in the last days. We have got the signs of the times everywhere. Just watch the world news these days. And even before they get to the news, they give you a look back through the nations and what's happening in Chile, what's happening in Venezuela, what's happening in Hong Kong, what's happening all around the world. And you go back into the Bible, when you see these things coming to pass, lift up your eyes, catch the vision, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Of course, the end is not yet, because a day with him is 1,000 years, but he is preparing, just like he says, to come back again. And so it behoves us to catch the vision. It behoves us to hear the voice, the call. It behoves us to accept that call, that vocation. This is not a holiday. This is not a vacation. It's a vocation. It's a calling. And then you have the victories. When they arrived, and when they gathered together in that first prayer meeting, even as they were praying, God was answering prayer and giving them their first convert. Remember? Lydia, the seller of purple dyes and cloth. She was passing her little cart past, even as they prayed. And I love what the Bible says here about that. And God opened her heart. That's what we look for in missions when we go to Cambodia and when we go to Myanmar. And that's what you should look for wherever you go. The Holy Spirit at work in those people's minds and hearts and wills that he has placed at your doorstep, that he has given as your responsibility. And he wants you to believe that he is able to open their hearts one by one and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. Not only did he begin to open the hearts of people and help them to see the converts, where we preach God's word, where the Holy Spirit works, people will turn to Christ and become new believers. And not only that, but there'll be opposition, of course. Because even as they began to reach out, there's a story here about a fortune teller and a young slave girl that was working with him. And they were causing great disturbance to that first missionary team. A setback. But Paul realized that he was on the winning side. And so he turned to God and he said, in the name of Jesus. And he cast out the spirit, the evil spirit. There will be opposition. The devil is powerful, and he will always put things to try and hinder the work that God has given us to do. As a result of the persecution, Paul and Silas were put into prison. But God opened the prison doors. And not only did he release them, but he brought his whole family to faith in Christ as well. The victories of mission. And this is what we can rejoice in. In spite of the difficulties, in spite of the setbacks, in spite of the evil one's work, God is building his church. The world, the missions into all the world. Let's catch the vision. Let's share that vision together. Let's open our ears that we may hear his voice. Trust him to direct your steps into the center of his will for your life. And if it's a missionary life, until you become 80 years of age, it'll just get better and better and better. And God will keep giving the victories again and again for his kingdom's sake, for his name's sake, and for his glory. Amen. Thank you.